7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and it is part four of our AFC East breakdown for the 2017 NFL season, and it is none other than the New England Patriots. Yes, the New England Patriots that went 14-2 last year in 2016, that went 6-2 at home, that went 8-0 on the road, and 5-1 in their own division, and won their AFC East title. They're pretty ridiculous. That's all I gotta say.
I know Tom is really upset because it's gonna be hard not to just stroke the shit out of the New England Patriots. Obviously, coming off of a Super Bowl, coming off of everything that you just mentioned, Josh, and in my opinion, this team is tremendously better than what they were last year. I mean, they improved in a lot of positions, and this is gonna be tough for you, Tommy.
Yeah, they proceeded to hit home runs in free agency, the draft, and like you said, Tim, they're a lot better. I think most, pretty much the 31 other fan bases are praying that the Madden curse is real and Tom Brady gets hurt.
I'm looking at their points for and their points against, and it's like one of the most ridiculous numbers I've ever seen. Do you know what the difference between the two are? You guys know off the top of your head?
Negative.
I do not.
191.
Ooh, wow.
Points for, 441. Points against, which is the best in the NFL last year, 250. That's crazy.
It's absolutely ridiculous, and like their defense is I don't know how is it. It's way better. It's way, way better. It's going to be scary.
Let's get into some of the free agent acquisitions and some of them that they released throughout the offseason. So kind of just hitting on a few. We got Logan Ryan. He ends up going to the Tennessee Titans. In my opinion, that was a big loss. But he signed for Tennessee for 3 years. $30 million deal. A lot of money. Jabal Sherrod, he ended up leaving the end. He went to Indy. Three-year deal. $25 million deal there. Martellus Bennett, he leaves New England and goes from one great quarterback of Tom Brady and then goes to none other than frickin' Aaron Rodgers. So he ends up leaving there, three-year deal. Chris Long decides to win a Super Bowl and then go to the Philadelphia Eagles. He signs there for 2 years. Barkavius Mingo, he goes to the Colts as well, one-year deal. Michael Floyd, news is that he just signed with the Minnesota Vikings, correct?
Correct.
Exactly. So taking a 1 year flyer on that with Michael Floyd, the Patriots did the same thing. So, didn't see much out of him.
Well, and the one that was, you know, Devin McCourty, obviously he's going to be, yep. He's now, Cleveland Brown, I think is just about no. Official. No,
it's Jason.
Oh, I'm thinking
his twin brother.
Maybe. I don't know. Apparently I mixed those two up. My apologies.
Next up, we have Stephon Gilmore. He ends up signing with the Patriots. 5 year deal, $65 million. That is a lot of cabbage.
It's a big time signing for the Patriots, though. They had Malcolm Butler, and now they're getting another shutdown corner, Stephon Gilmore. And what's probably more important, they're making the Buffalo Bills weaker, taking one of their best defenders, and just showing their dominance over the AFC East.
Next up, Deonta Hightower. He re-signs with New England. Kind of a shocker to me. I thought he was going to sign elsewhere. But that was a big thing for New England. They needed to re-sign him, in my opinion. And they did. Four-year deal, $35
million. Yeah, Deonta Hightower, heart and soul of that defense, middle backer for him. They needed to re-sign him, and he went around. I believe he visited with the Jets, the Steelers, but he's going back home trying to win another ring with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah, you know that he's one of the best players at that position. What he means to that defense when the New England Patriots are re-signing him for that amount of money.
Lawrence guy, he comes from Baltimore, signing with New England, four-year deal, D-end. 27 years old, $13 million deal. Not a huge deal, but a very good deal for them.
steal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, like you said, big money for the Patriots to invest in that position there. I was shocked that they paid him that much, to be perfectly honest with you. But obviously they see something, and I have full faith in what they're doing.
He's one hell of a run stopper, and again, making another AFC rival, the Baltimore Ravens, weaker.
They re-signed two Patriot running backs, and then they sign one running back from another team. So one is Rex Burkhead coming from the Bengals to New England, one-year deal, $3 million. Brandon Bolden re-signs 1 year, $855,000. LeGarrette Blount, they tag him, not officially signed yet, but pretty much they don't have to pay him anything. So, pretty outrageous.
It's a steal. If no other team signs LeGarrette Blount, the Patriots will have control over him till, I think it's week 11. It's a weird tag that hasn't been used since 2000. But this is the man that led the NFL in rushing touchdowns last year, and no one wants him. Smart move by the New England Patriots. But that backfield is awfully crowded right now.
Yeah, do you guys predict, so they have Deion Lewis, James White, Brandon Bolden, Mike Gillisley, Rex Burkhead, and potentially LeGarrette Blount. So that's six backs.
They can't keep that many.
No, right. How many, I mean, they potentially could have to cut the guys that they just re-signed. Right?
Yeah, to be honest, I totally thought Brandon Bolden was kind of on the roster bubble, but he is a very good special teams guy. And then Deion Lewis, same thing. He's a very good returner, but... You know what? The Patriots have a lot of good return guys, and there just may be no room for a Deion Lewis on this team after you think about it.
Yeah, that's probably the number one guy I think they would get rid of. Yeah, he's been explosive when he could stay healthy, but Bill Belichick isn't just going to hold him on the team when the dude is not producing on the field, and he hasn't been.
So obviously the Patriots put that tag on LeGarrette Blount. Primarily to get that I'm going to mess up this word.
Compensatory.
Thank you. Compensatory pick. What do they do if he has to be on the team? I mean, really, listen, they're not just going to keep him for 10 weeks and then say, okay, see you later, right? Odds are they'll work out some sort of one-year deal if it gets to that point. If that happens, can they keep a Rex Burkhead and a Mike Gillisley along with all the other names you mentioned?
I think they're going to be forced to. Gillisley and Burkhead both have guaranteed money, both signed new contracts, and I really think Belichick likes those two in the system more than Blount, in all honesty.
Realistically, we're talking about them having four running backs, at the least, on their roster.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they ain't getting rid of James White, who pretty much won the Super Bowl for them.
Yeah, James White's not going anywhere. He's pretty much locked into a roster spot, in my opinion. But, all right, so enough of the free agency and all that talk.
Did you mention Coney Ealy?
Or Brandon Cooks.
Oh, you know what? No, I didn't.
You missed,
bet.
Like, the two biggest I'm, ones, I'm man. I'm sorry, I'm sorry. Come on, drunk ass.
I'm thinking too far ahead. I'm sorry. Ealy, he signs there via trade. And then, again, Brandon Cooks via trade as well. Sorry. I was thinking free agency, bro. That's all.
Two ridiculous signings, in my opinion. Obviously, get him in via trade and, you know... Obviously, they gave up that first-round pick for Brandon Cooks, but what he brings for one Tom Brady along with what they already have, it gives them a surefire number one, which obviously Julian Edelman has been fantastic, but he's never been a real number one, right? He's just been succeeding in their system, I believe, in my opinion. You put him on any other team, I'm not sure he's that for sure number one guy. Brandon Cooks is. He's proven that in New Orleans, and now with Tom Brady, I'm interested to see what they do. And Coney Ealy adds that pass rush that is going to scare the living daylights out of teams, which the Patriots haven't had in quite a while.
Yeah, Ealy underachieved in Carolina, but he's got all the physical tools, and I'm pretty sure Bill Belichick thinks he can get more out of him. And I agree with him, and the Brandon Cook signing was huge, going to give them the ability to take the top off defenses. And we also forgot the Dwayne Allen trade with the Indianapolis Colts. Another backup tight end for Rob Gronkowski. Hopefully he could stay healthy. It will be absolutely scary if he does.
And don't be surprised to see them in two tight end sets that Bill Belichick loves. Both those guys can catch the ball. Dwayne Allen did have some success in Indy, and I feel like he's going to be very successful in New England.
Okay.
Anyone else you want to forget, Josh? Or no?
No, that's pretty much all I got. Sorry,
Tim,
guys.
I'm glad we are here to do Josh's job for him.
Sorry, I have a list here that I have written down that specifically says via free agency, and I was not thinking of the trades.
And we do. I think we should mention Sebastian Vollmer, their offensive tackle, you know, longtime Patriot. He actually retired this week as well, so I don't know if that was mentioned or not.
Down 75 pounds already.
I don't blame him. I would be too.
Yeah.
Next up. Free agency, we just did that. Jesus.
You drunk ass.
We are doing the draft recap. Go ahead, let's hit it. Let's go.
The New England Patriots, they didn't have a pick until round three of the draft. They made tons of trades in the offseason, got that veteran talent, but they still ended up having a really good draft. In the third round, though, with their first pick, they got Derek Rivers, edge rusher out of Youngstown State. One of my favorite players in this draft, small school kid. But really showed on film when he was playing against Power 5 teams that he could compete. Did a very good job at the Senior Bowl. Played extremely well against that top-level talent. He blew up the combine. One of the best pre-draft processes by any prospect. I'm guessing he's primarily going to be used as a pass rush specialist in his rookie year. But I think he's got all the ability to develop into that Rob Ninkovich type role for the Patriots.
Yeah, I agree. The latest pick for a Super Bowl team ever in NFL history, I believe, is what I saw, the 19th pick in the third round for the Patriots. And they may have gotten one of the biggest steals of the draft. I believe Rivers only played 8 games last year. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that is correct. Obviously, he just needs to find a way to stay on the football field. That's going to be his, you know, getting the reps in. It might be a little bit hard with that, with how many, you know, good players they do have. Like Tom said, I do see him being a pass rush specialist to start his career and see how he can develop from there.
Yeah, I mean, you were talking about him when we were doing a lot of our positional breakdowns, and I wasn't a huge fan of Derek Rivers, but him going to the Patriots, it's a little unfair, I guess. I did not want to see him go to the Patriots. I wanted to see him go somewhere else, but the Patriots ended up getting a good player, and I think he's going to be a very good situational role player to start his career there, for sure.
Yeah, and I was totally wrong. He played way more than 8 games last year. He played 16.
So idiot.
Shame on me.
The other third-round pick that the Patriots had, Antonio Garcia, offensive tackle from Troy. Another small school kid. Very athletic, though. Similar to what the Patriots like at that tackle position. Will be a good depth guy. Right now, I think he was drafted in case the Patriots decide to let Nate Solder leave in free agency next year. But he's got all the athletic gifts to play left tackle in the NFL. Another solid quality pick for the New England Patriots.
And what can you say? I mean, this is one of those guys who, listen, none of us are really watching Troy football games, right? There's a little bit of tape on him out there. You trust in the Patriots here. You trust that they're picking a guy that's going to fit their system, that's not going to have a lot asked of him early in his career, and is going to be able to fill in here down the road.
Well, I actually watched a lot of Antonio
Shut up.
Garcia. So, I didn't watch a ton of him. Again, not a lot of Troy tape out there, but at the same time, he's going to fill a need on that team. And I feel like the draft for the Patriots was really just filling in spots that they needed for more and more backups, in a sense. And they really hit it in free agency.
And in round 4, Patriots got another pass rusher, Dietrick Wise from Arkansas. He fits the mold of what the Patriots are looking for in edge rushers. He has a lot of Trey Flowers in him. We saw what Trey Flowers did in the Super Bowl. I think he had 2.5 sacks, completely dominated the Falcons. This dude's long, versatile, technically sound. He has the ability to play outside on rundowns and then move inside on passing downs. Extremely versatile player. And he's just going to be another chess piece that this very underrated New England Patriots defense has to play with. It's going to be scary.
This New England Patriots defense, like you said, Tom, absolutely underrated. Going to be top 3 to 5, in my opinion. They're going to be very, very good. They're going to be able to get after the quarterback with what they have now in the secondary. Someone like Wise, obviously, again, not going to have a ton asked from him. He has a lot of room to improve. He has some things to work on. He's going to have every opportunity to do that with who he has in front of him in New England.
Just another guy that they can add to the puzzle. That's pretty much
it. Oh, yeah. And overall, though, A lot of these people giving grades to the Patriots are adding in the Brandon Cooks as one of their draft picks, Dwayne Allen, Coney Ealy. I am not doing that, but I'm still going to give them a B. I don't think that they got any starters in this draft, but they got solid depth guys who can play a role throughout the season for them.
I'm going to go with a B+, because while they didn't, you know, necessarily have anyone that's a shocker or whatever, this Derek Rivers pick in the third round could be the steal of the draft. A lot of people are saying could be someone who you're looking back on, like, of course, another Patriots. This is another typical Patriots move. But with only four picks, you know, I get it. They're high upside guys with a lot of talent, but we will see what happens. I'll go B+.
Yeah, like you said, you kind of start factoring in the first round pick for Cooks and this and that, and you can add it in there, you cannot add it in there, you can do whatever way you want to do it. Regardless, the Rivers pick and everything else, I'm gonna add it all together, and I'm gonna give it a solid B+. A- right there. I'm going to add the Cooks part into it.
Yeah, if you're adding in, I mean, that's where I don't understand. I get the NFL is very stingy with their draft picks and what they, but someone like Brandon Cooks late in the draft like that, even a mid-first round pick, someone so young at that position, and it is proven. If you have a quarterback, why wouldn't you? I mean, even look at the Baltimore Ravens had other needs. Like the Baltimore Ravens adding a Brandon Cooks to their team, I mean, that's what Joe Flacco needs. I just don't understand how people haven't caught on to the Patriots mindset yet.
All right. Moving on, let's talk about a little bit of the fantasy football aspect. Obviously, they were pretty freaking good last year, right? Let's talk about what they did last year and where we think they're gonna end up this year.
So players on their team right now, they have 8 players on their team who have scored, including their defense, that scored more than 100 points in fantasy football last year. That's a pretty interesting stat. You have one Thomas Brady. You may have heard of him before. Actually ranked the 15th quarterback overall.
Missed
the first 4 games of the season, obviously. What can you say? He's going to go early. He's going to go often. Dominant had one bad game, you know, week 15 against Denver, at Denver, 188 yards, no touchdowns. Outside of that, you're looking at multiple touchdowns outside of week 13 against the Rams, where he only had one. You're looking at every game over 200 yards, games over 400 yards, 2 games over 4 touchdowns, and then multiple 3 touchdown games. What else can you say? You know, you're waiting for him to hit that wall, and he says he's playing till 50, and it's never going to happen. Jimmy Garoppolo must be pissed because he obviously wants that shot. I don't think it's going to come in New England, though.
Tom Brady, in my eyes, is the number one fantasy quarterback this year. You see all the weapons they have added around him. That offense was already scary last season without Rob Gronkowski for most of the season. Now they got Brandon Cooks. I really think they're going to try to win by passing the football. We saw Blunt last season get 18 rushing touchdowns. I don't see any Patriot coming close to that. And I could see Tom Brady coming close and to breaking Peyton Manning's all those passing records he had a couple seasons ago with Denver.
So let's take LeGarrette Blount out of the conversation right now at running back. Let's just assume that some team is going to take him from the Patriots, which I believe we all do.
Yeah.
And the next highest scoring running back on their team is actually Mike Gillisley. Mike Gillisley, 116 points. You know, he had a receiving touchdown. He had 8 rushing touchdowns for the Buffalo Bills last year, ranked at number 27, you know, and that was playing second fiddle to one Shady McCoy. What do you think his role and his fantasy outlook is going to be?
If Blount is not signed, I think Gillisley is going to be the guy to own for the New England Patriots. I still don't think I'm going to invest a lot of draft capital in him, but I think he's going to go off the board in the 4th or 5th round, possibly. Some people hoping that he takes that LeGarrette Blount role on, but he's more versatile than Blount. He can catch the football out of the backfield. He's not a liability in that sense, and teams aren't going to be able to just keen in on the run game when he's in the game. I like Gillisley overall, though, in his fantasy relevance next season.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's just tough to see 18 touchdowns be spread out to running backs on that team. I could see, like you said before, Tom Brady getting 10 more of those touchdowns and adding on to his 28 last year, or probably even more than that for the fact that he missed the first couple games of the season. So imagine him ending the year at, what, 30, we could say 30, well, respectable number, 35 touchdowns, right? You just add 3 touchdowns a game, somewhere around there. Then you're going to add 10 touchdowns for the 18 touchdowns that LeGarrette Blount is now not going to have. So that puts you at quite a bit, you know, 43, around that number, maybe even 45. That would be a huge number for Tom Brady.
Absolutely would. You know, it's just crazy that LeSean McCoy, you know, he played second fiddle to McCoy and had 8 touchdowns. And there's a chance that he's going to go and be the guy in New England and have less touchdowns. I feel like that's not a crazy thing to think.
Nope.
I agree.
So let's go to now the most interesting part to me in terms of fantasy, the wide receiving core in New England. You have Brandon Cooks, who obviously is a star, the 8th-ranked wide receiver in power rankings, a star, absolutely just has dominated in New Orleans with Drew Brees, now goes from one Hall of Famer to another, from Brees to Brady. They have Chris Hogan, who obviously had some big games for them last year, had 4 games over 10 points, had that one big game against Baltimore in Week 14. They still have their go-to guy over the last few years here, Julian Edelman, who, you know, was ranked 22nd among wide receivers last year. And then I feel like you have to group in Rob Gronkowski in their wide receivers. Obviously, he's a tight end, but if healthy, I mean, he's the guy there, right? I mean, he's just a star. Adding Dwayne Allen obviously will help take away some of that pressure from Rob Gronkowski. My question to you guys is, with all these weapons, with all these mouths to feed, are any of these guys true viable number one options at their position outside of Rob Gronkowski?
I really think it's going to be true feast or famine with the Pats and their wide receivers this season. Besides Gronk, if he's healthy, he's going to always get his share of that meal. But I could see Cook's numbers going down. I could see him being under 1,000 yards, in all honesty. I could see Edelman's numbers dropping below 1,000 yards and not getting close to that 100 reception mark that he's hit quite often. But there's just so many weapons there, and if they're trying to take the deep ball away, then Edelman's going to feast. And if teams are coming down in the box and trying to cover those short routes, then Cooks is going to feast. Each defensive game plan is going to kind of show a
different side of the Patriots offense.
Brandon Cooks finishes outside the top 20 for wide receivers.
No.
Yep. That's what I'm going with.
I think there's a chance, in all honesty.
I mean, just look how good Julian Edelman was last year. He had 98 catches, 1,106 yards, only 3 touchdowns. And he finished at, 22, right?
Yep.
Those are good numbers, besides the touchdowns. Brandon Cooks, he finished 8th, like we talked about, but he had 8 touchdowns. My thing is, there's just like you said, Tom, too many mouths to feed, and Brandon Cooks is going to take a hit. He's going to go from number 8 ranked wide receiver in standard scoring, and he's going to move all the way down to 26.
26?
26, well, write it down.
That's interesting. I mean, you talk about Edelman. I mean, you take away his Week 17, which was 151 yards and a touchdown. His last touchdown prior to that was Week 11. So it's very possible the Patriots do have a lot of mouths to feed. They do a great job of spreading that ball around. My question to you guys for fantasy purposes, the other two guys on the outside looking in now are Malcolm Mitchell, you know, young wide receiver out of Georgia who's shown some promise here, and Danny Amendola. Where do those guys – do you even draft those guys? 16th round, do you draft them?
If you're in a super deep league, I would take a flyer on Malcolm Mitchell if it's like a 14-teamer. Amendola, I want nothing to do with that unless Edelman gets hurt.
Yeah, if it's a 14 or 16 team league, definitely I'm reaching for a Malcolm Mitchell there. I was really high on Malcolm Mitchell last year and paid dividends, you know, for a couple games when you needed them. He started off the year, he got hurt, and then he ended up doing pretty well down the road. So he was pretty serviceable. And then I don't know, for some reason, Danny Amendola, I'm not in love with, but at the same time, he took a pay cut. He's a team-friendly guy. That's what he's there for. People like him. He may just be the return guy, and that's why I said we may see the end of Deion Lewis if they need to cut a running back. I don't think they're going to cut Rex Burkhead once they signed him like that.
Makes sense. That's all I got for fantasy. Outside of that, you know, maybe the Patriots defense. You know, I feel like that they should be talked about here. We don't want to talk a lot about defenses because we, you know, all of us, I think, are in the mindset of, you know, 15th or 16th round for defenses. But listen, they were ranked number 8 last year. They had 5 games of 10 points or more. You don't really think of the Patriots as a defensive presence, but like I said, I see them as a top 5 fantasy defense this year. Going to be very aggressive. They have the secondary. They have the pass rush. They have linebackers who have been in place there for a while. It's going to be a good defense.
Yeah, you can always definitely have the Patriots defense. They didn't have one game that was in negative points at all. Plus, the other thing is, look at their special teamers. They have Julian Edelman that returns punts. You have Danny Amendola that returns punts and kicks. Deion Lewis, when he was doing that, not fumbling the ball when he was doing that, he was doing very well. I bet you we may see Rex Burkhead back there once in a while. There's a possibility that they can score any time on special teams. And then, plus, now you're adding their defense with the Stephon Gilmore and Coney Ealy and then a bunch of other guys that you're adding with sacks, the interception potential. Just so many possibilities for that Patriots defense and special teams. You could really see them in the top 5.
Patriots defense last year ranked number 8. 0 defensive or special teams touchdowns. That's impressive because they do have the ability to do that, and obviously that will be increased with what they've added to the defense.
With how their defense played at the end of the year last year, that's what you're just praying you get out of them. But Josh brought it up, just all the pieces that they have added, they are poised to take a step in the next or in the right direction. And right now they're being taken as like the 6th or 7th defensive off the board in fantasy leagues. I think that's ridiculous. I think they should be a top 5 unit, and I'm going to be scooping them up even though I hate the New England Patriots.
Yeah, they only had 3 games without a sack last year.
It's awesome.
And interceptions-wise, you look at all those numbers at the end of the year, 2-1-1-3-1. Those point games right there, fantasy playoffs there. That's 14 points, 8 points, 14 points, 16 points, 16. And that is probably your championship game, and that just made you some money right there.
And last little stat here to stroke the New England Patriots defense. They had only 5 games where they gave up 20 points or more last year. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid. All right, now that we're done with the fantasy aspect of it, let me ask you guys this question. Tom Brady, is he going to be the top fantasy quarterback this year?
Yes.
No.
Wow. Who are you going to put him above?
Aaron Rodgers.
Mike Lennon.
Yeah, Mike Lennon. No, Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers, no, that's a good call. I like that. But I really think that Tom Brady's just got too many weapons. Let me ask you this. Any wide receiver for the Patriots finish in the top 8?
No.
No, not that high.
Okay.
Top 15, yes. Top 8, no.
All right. Running back. Any running back for the New England Patriots finishes in the top 12?
No.
I'm just thinking about it more. It's hard. You know, Blunt had 18 touchdowns. They obviously like to do it. So, like you said, those touchdowns have to go somewhere. So, if they're going to the wide receivers, maybe Cooks gets 4 or 5 of those more, you know, and he's also stealing from other wide receivers' touchdowns. Maybe he gets the 10 touchdowns. And if he does, then he very well could be a top 8 wide receiver. I might have to change my top 8 decision there. Running back, though, no, I don't feel like they have that.
All right. Gronk, does he play the full season or no?
No. 13 games.
13 games.
10.
More fantasy points, Gronk, or who else did they get?
Dwayne Allen.
Dwayne Allen.
Gronk.
All right.
Dwayne Allen sucks.
Oh, no, I agree with that, but I'm going off the premise of the idea that Gronk gets hurt and Dwayne Allen's pretty much numero uno.
Even with Gronk hurt last year, Martellus Bennett had his games, but he was not, you know, a star by any means.
All right, now let's go to giving the predictions for the season for the AFC East. Where do we have the Patriots in the 2017 NFL season?
Let me preface everything for you guys. The New England Patriots are the only team that is favored in every single game going into the season so far right now. And they are over-under by Vegas is 14.5 for them.
That's wow. Absolutely insane.
That's a big number. I'm looking at the record, or I'm looking at the schedule right now. They start off with a tough game versus the Chiefs. They're at home, which is nice for them. Then they go on to the Saints. We don't know who the Saints are going to be yet. They have Mark Ingram. They have an Adrian Peterson. They have an Alvin Kamara. They have newly number one wide receiver Michael Thomas. And then we don't know what's pretty much after that with the Drew Brees crew. But then after that, Texans, they're still kind of tough regardless of the quarterback situation. That defense is still pretty decent. Panthers' offense is going to be completely revamped with the Christian McCaffrey experience. And then, I mean, they're going to lose week five with the Buccaneers. So I don't know. That's just what I have. So, I mean, they got a tough, on paper, they got some tough matchups. They got the Broncos. They got the Chargers, the Falcons, Dolphins twice. Looking at the rest of it, it is kind of tough. But I'm going to go back and I'm going to say that the New England Patriots are going to finish with the same record that they finished this past year with 14 wins.
The last time the New England Patriots opened a season against the Kansas City Chiefs, Tom Brady tore his ACL.
Come on, man.
I'm just saying. I'm stating facts. The Madden curse is real. New England Patriots win 10 games with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Wow. Okay, well, I'm not.
No, really, they're going to go like 15-1.
So all week long, we've looked at these teams and we've been trying to find wins for them, right? Now you're pulling up the Patriots schedule and you try to find losses.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I want here is their away games because they do not lose often at home, right? So at New Orleans is a very tough game for them. At Tampa Bay, I believe, will be a very tough game for them. I see that game being a shootout, to be perfectly honest with you.
And actually, last year, they actually went 6-2 at home and 8-0 on the road.
Oh, so be it. They have the Denver Broncos in Denver. Obviously, you know, Tom Brady's used to playing there, but nevertheless. And they play at Pittsburgh. So those are the games that I look at as potential losses. I have them being 13-3.
That's interesting.
Have you guys ever done the playoffpredictor.com? You could pick every game for the whole season. I did one yesterday, and my first time going through, the Patriots were 16-0. I was like, God damn it. So I changed it, and I just had them losing like one game. But yeah, like Tim said, I pretty much had to find just randomly a game that they would lose. This team is so stacked on offense, so stacked on defense. I'll be shocked if they don't win the Super Bowl again.
I have them running the table in the AFC East. But with that being said, you know, there always are going to be those unexpected games. And they still do, like Josh said, have tough games. The Chiefs are going to be potentially a playoff team. Saints are pushing for the playoffs. Texans pushing for the playoffs. Panthers, Bucks, Falcons, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. Those are some tough teams. None of them are going to roll over, and you better believe that all of them are going to be looking. You know, the Patriots have, you know, they've had it for years now, but they get everyone's best. Everyone sees them, especially, you know, returning as Super Bowl champions again. Everyone's going to be gunning for them straight away, especially with the additions that they made. They're the clear-cut winners. Being so heavily favored, sometimes teams can't really live up to it. Now with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that's another story. But 14 games is a lot of games to win in an NFL season.
So let me go one step further. You think possibly 15-1?
Yeah.
You think 13-3?
Yes.
I'm at 14-2. Do we think that they win the Super Bowl again this year?
I do.
I'm going to say they do not.
So if you had to take the chance, Tom, if somebody offered you a wager and said, I'm going to give you the Patriots, or I'm going to take the Patriots, and I'll give you the field, what do you do?
I'd take the Patriots.
I'll take the field. There's too much parity in the NFL. I love what the Patriots, but we see it all the time in the NFL. Big additions, you know, they brought in everyone. They brought in this star player. They did this, they did that, and then it doesn't work out the way that people thought it was going to. It happens all the time. We'll see how it works out for the Patriots, but I'm going to take the field.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
Nope.
All right. That's all we have for you guys. Pretty much, if you're a Patriots fan, you're probably happy with our predictions. Or maybe you're not. You're probably going to say 16-0, so one way or another. But hope you guys enjoyed. Please go to the comments section on there and let us know what you guys think. Give us an email, ponykegsports@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @ponykegsports, @ponykegtom, @ponykegtim. Go to our website, ponykegsports.com as well. And then also you guys can check us out on our buddy's website, cleatgeeks.com. Check them out on Twitter, @cleatgeeks. Again, message us. Let us know if you liked it, you hated it, you want to see some more of it, and then we'd be glad to do that. So,
and send questions.
Yeah, send questions. That's a big thing, too. Hope you guys enjoyed. Listen to us for all your fantasy football needs coming up in this 2017 NFL fantasy season. Thanks a lot, and see you next time.